Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, yep. Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the wild card of Mount Zeitmore, a hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, musician, with a 7.4 rated album on Pitchfork.
Author.
No big deal. You can listen to his podcast, Cold Brew Got Me Like, or stream it on Twitch. His new book, The Advice King Anthology, is available to order on Vanderbilt University Press.
Vanderbilt University Press.
That's right.
You fucking hear that, you fucking
Don't get it
academic
twisted.
Elitists.
Yeah.
He's here.
Vanderbilt University, the same one you talk about at every goddamn
Co-signed.
Dinner party.
Yeah.
The same one. That same one you go to goddamn Turks and Caicos and tell everybody your son fucking, you know, just got in. Well, guess what?
Braden got into Vanderbilt?
Yeah,
oh, that's so great. He is going to love it.
Honors at entrance. Braden's doing great.
Braden. Oh,
yeah. And also the, you know, Rick, who's the local judge, he actually dismissed his vehicular homicide case. So he's got a clear plate to go to college. Now we're really happy for him.
Yeah, and they're having this conversation on a beach towel three hours after they murdered somebody. You know, but that's
with
like
a phone call, with a business decision.
Yeah, but it's like gauche. Yeah,
not like in a cool way.
It's gauche to talk about that. So you just talk about like fucking Vanderbilt. Yeah. But yeah, I took over Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's your university now.
Oh, yeah, I can go over there anytime I want. I can be like, Chancellor, what's up?
Anyways, hold on to your butts because the poetry window is open. It's Chris motherfucking Crofton!
Chris! What's up?
What's up?
I'm so glad to be here.
So good to have
in my barn or wherever, I'm in the storage unit I broadcast from.
Yeah.
You see what's behind me?
Just
a bunch of junk. Looks like a yard sale, huh?
Not really. Kinda, it kind of looks like
I'm living that yard sale life.
What, do you got a hammer there?
God, it's not even mine. It's my landlord's stuff. It's like a bunch of children's toys and hammers and, I mean, whatever. The, somebody else's life that I live in.
Looks like a beach hi-a-li, like one of those beach hi-a-li.
Oh, like scoop ball things? Scoop
yeah,
ball.
Probably. You yeah. know, I don't
scoop
know.
Scoop out the sea.
I'm like, I have to block a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's modern American.
Yeah.
Surviving as a modern American.
When I look at that pile of junk behind me, all I see is I see a fresh pineapple.
All I see are dollars.
That's all
signs.
I do. I see a fruit bowl. I see a nicely arranged fruit bowl. The kind that like Cezanne or whoever would have painted or whatever.
Oh,
whatever.
Wow. Getting arty on us.
El Greco. Yeah, yeah. I just had some cold brew. I start talking about artists. Yeah,
El Greco is one of those rare, like, I don't know, Renaissance, but like master painters who also sounds like a bookie, like a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody else feel me on that?
Well, it's
all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, cool. It sounds like a mob boss.
It's my last
like,
episode.
Hashtag yeah. El Greco.
Hashtag El Greco.
Yeah.
Hashtag bookie. Hashtag canceled. yeah, like I was an art history major, so I like to sprinkle in
you were?
Yeah, but I didn't.
And I was a sports gambling major, so
yeah, I didn't. That. I didn't go to class or anything, so I'm always like looking at paintings and being like, is that a El Greco or a
mm-hmm.
Yeah, could be El Greco or probably Rembrandt.
Yeah.
Or you know,
be.
Or it could be freaking
no way to know.
Could be Pollock, Jackson.
I mean, yeah, they're all very similar. It's impossible to tell them apart.
I mean, what? El Greco and Rembrandt overlapped, but not Pollock. Come on now, Chris.
Holy shit.
Miles.
I'm just saying.
Flexing on us with the knowledge.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, Miles has changed. I can read your expression. And yeah, Miles
has changed. I figured your
changed.
Whole shit out, Chris.
Yeah. Holy God. So this is like, wow, this is like a serious podcast now. Okay. I don't know.
okay. This is one of those serious podcasts.
Oh, fuck.
So you guys are going to have to guide me along because I like have been like completely. I got back from New York. I was in New York doing a play, acting in a play.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I was gone for 6 weeks. And I came back to just like, I don't know if it's depression from. Like from COVID I had when I was in New York or whether it's from just like being, you know, bopping around New York City and then coming back to like this living situation that I'm not crazy about. But
yeah,
I'm sort of spaced out. Like I'm not sure if it's long COVID kind of stuff, but I definitely feel like I had COVID like a month ago now.
Right.
And I feel a little odd. Like I don't know. So I'm a little bit spaced out. So, you know, if I just talk about depressing shit today, if I'm just like, you know, sorry, I'm just trying to like,
look,
I'm trying
man, everybody's
to get
got to work through their shit. You know,
I
what
can't
I mean?
Quite, you know what I mean? I can't quite, yeah. I can't quite feel
put
normal.
Your finger on it.
I'm trying to figure out how, but you know, I can't get the joy from, you know, I'm drinking as much cold brew as I can. I'm watching as much Abandoned Mind videos as I can.
How's
and I still
lurking?
Can't seem to get back to my usual level of, you know, just like, barely hanging on. Now I'm like, usually I'm hanging on with like, you know, three fingers, and now I'm hanging on with two.
Ooh,
I definitely felt that. Like
maybe that's an overstatement. But you know, but I'm hanging on. I'm not feeling.
Yeah, it feels a little bit different. I definitely hear that. I mean, I feel like other people who have experienced like a similar thing where they were sort of confused. I'm like, I don't know if I'm like just have a general malaise or if I have long COVID is something I've.
Well, right. I've what a time before. To sort through symptoms. You know what I mean? Like, how could you tell? Like, I mean, you could have, I can have a lot of ailments, but I mean, like, it could all be just reading the news. Like, you don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I either have long COVID or I read the news or I'm clinically depressed or I'm just a realist. I mean, how do you, or else I have too much clutter behind me in this Zoom, in this Zoom video. Like, what could it, who knows what it is?
It's hard to pinpoint.
I like a nice little seamless blend of depression, anxiety, and stomach issues. That's always good.
Yeah.
Like, is my stomach fucked up or is that
or
because,
is that because of Mitch McConnell?
Is it causing, is my stomach causing it or should my have, brain or my brain causing my stomach?
Should I have put two cold brews in that fucking beer funnel?
I've drank as much cold brew as I possibly can today and I still feel like shit.
And I still feel so anxious and uneasy.
And I've eaten
I don't know what's going
I've eaten
on.
So much candy, too.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's not doing anything to settle my stomach.
I mean, you've taken all my suggestions. Drink as much cold brew as your body can possibly contain, and candy.
Just family more, size as bags much of Skittles.
Well, that's the thing is also, I have like a 1950s idea of what like health and wellness is. Like, it's like, I went bowling. I still feel horrible.
I exercised. Yeah. I went bowling.
I went bowling and smoked a bunch of cigarettes, and I still feel like shit.
Did the hula hoop for 15 minutes.
I ate a huge hamburger with green peppers in it.
I don't know, Doc. It's just, something's not right. I bought a Plymouth and I bought a new Plymouth and everything.
I drank 9 Rheingolds. I worked on the car. What the fuck? I feel like absolute shit. I'm wearing my strappy undershirt.
That's what the doctor's about to ask. Are you wearing the strap?
Look right here. Look right here. It's on my wearing it. Oh, wow. My God. Huh. And you're smoking enough.
You're smoking really just
unusual. Gosh. Well, I don't know what to tell you except for maybe just I don't know, have a couple more beers and go play more pool.
Yeah.
Hang out with some more men, have a few schlitz.
Are you gambling enough?
That's the question.
Right.
What is something from your search history?
So I've already given the game away a little bit because a couple of things in my search history are Water Park Vegas and American Ninja Warrior Vegas. But I can tell you the other thing we landed on, which was Monster Jam Vegas, because that was the last thing I was in Vegas for a full week, and I was pretty bored during the days. So
Monster Jam, yeah, I don't even know. Is it
that is okay. Monster Trucks. That is a Monster Truck tournament.
Hell yeah.
Big trucks, huge tires, doing backflips, jumping over things. It was
and it also that the addition of jam makes it feel like they're getting to, like, you know, go off book a little bit, just like just noodle around with the monster truck. Just, like, it's just a monster freestyle. Jam. Yeah, freestyling.
Anyone with their own truck can kind of sit in.
it's just a jam, baby. We're just getting down at the monster truck rally.
Hey, do you mind if I brought my truck? Do you mind if I just, you know, do you mind if I jam with you guys?
Sure. I mean, I'm in the famous truck called Gravedigger, but what do you got? I got this 01 Chevy S10 with a tonneau cover.
Oh, no, it seems like we could kind of vibe out with it.
It's mostly made from a cigar box. my granddad made it.
Yeah, been passed down for generations. It's been through a few jams. Wait, was Gravedigger present? Because I feel like at Monster Jam, it used to be Bigfoot was like the monster truck that in like the 90s
they were both
was
there. Bigfoot and Gravedigger were both
there. Yes. Then it's a proper Monster Jam at the Thomas and Mac Arena.
That's exactly it. That's where it was.
That's the only place it can be.
I thought it was like some 90s hip hop remake of the Monster Mash, but I'm glad it is what it is. I've definitely heard from like people who I wouldn't expect necessarily to be monster truck fans, just in the traditional sense, being like, I went to a monster truck rally. It's awesome. And now that is something I'm into. Like, I identify as a monster truck person, you know?
I don't know if I would put myself that far in the category, but I'm definitely someone who gets bored on the road doing stand-up around the country and looks for things to do. And, you know, maybe I'll get something I could talk about on stage out of it, or maybe I'll just get an experience out of it that I can tell people about, or just enjoy myself for a couple of hours before I go back to the hotel room.
For you, what's been the most fruitful sort of, like, experimental event you went to, like in the same vein, you're like, holy shit, I got a lot more out of this in many levels than I thought I would?
Oh, that's a great question. I honestly don't know. I think some of the ones that were just surprising, like going to a laser tag in a with another comic, that was a lot of fun. That was just like, I was expecting, I hadn't been since I was a kid, and I was like, all right, let's see how we go. And then it was just, you know, we absolutely murdered the kids.
Oh my God.
I realize this is a theme now. It's just like real.
Because
you're doing
right?
stuff during the day and most people have real jobs. So if you go and do these things, it normally ends up just being a couple of idiot comedians and then just parents.
Like a seventh grade birthday party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
I went
what
to
it
a
is.
Seventh grade birthday party and I was like, I'll let the kids have their fun. And then like one of them shot my kid, and then I was just on a rampage after
like,
that.
Like, give me the fucking blaster. Yeah. Like, give it to
I was
me.
Like, not doing fun stuff. I like found a good spot and then just like sniped the hell out of like everyone.
Just being full on Rambo.
Yeah.
Just, wait, just so full first blooding it.
Were you playing at Ultrazone?
Yeah. We talked about this. Yeah, where you used to work.
Where I used to work, and Dr. Dre watched me make me very uncomfortable.
Clean up a birthday
party. Did you go there too, Matt? Was that where you went for laser tag?
No, where's UltraZone?
That's in the valley, like in Sherman Oaks.
And we don't even need to tell people that usually. Justin, you can cut that out because UltraZone is nationally famous. Obviously. Everyone knows where UltraZone is.
It's the one surviving place, actually.
Did you go to UltraZone? Oh, was it UltraZone then?
Oh, UltraZone? No, what is that? Oh, it's probably UltraZone. No,
that's actually the first thing that Miles had on his resume when we were like thinking about bringing him on for this show was a proud alumnus of UltraZone.
Exactly.
And no follow up, just UltraZone.
That's it. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Is a week the longest time you've ever spent consecutively in Vegas? And follow up, is it the longest time anyone has ever spent consecutively in Vegas? Because that feels like a long time to be in Las Vegas.
It is a very long time. I would say Penn and Teller have beaten that amount of time by several decades. But other than that.
Yeah, but they have to get out. Like, Wayne Newton. They must travel every day.
They definitely don't live on the Strip. I'm pretty sure they live in nice houses and then commute into the casino. Yeah, I would say that is exactly 5.5 days longer than you should ever spend in Vegas. Vegas is fantastic for about 36 hours, and that's the limit.
I had to work on a Senate campaign there for 2 months. And
were you on the Strip?
Dude, just like literally one block off the Strip. Like at the Candlewood Extended Stays fucking hotel.
That's even worse. Oh, that's even worse than being full Strip.
Matt, you have no idea. This was like right after the subprime like crash. So there were so many displaced people living in this extended stay like hotel, like on Halloween, like kids were trick or treating. And like I had like a front row seat at like the financial collapse of America. And I changed at a molecular level being there for 2 months. I'm not going to lie. It definitely put some pep in my step to get the fuck out of politics.
All right. Well, I'm thoroughly disturbed. What is something you think is underrated?
I've got an underrated and an overrated that go together this week. And this one goes out to all my white friends, all my white homies who listen to this podcast. Underrated. Hats. Overrated. Sunscreen. How can I put this? I was on an outdoor shoot recently, and they were like, we're going to be outdoors all day. Protect yourself from the sun. You could really tell who had been outside and who had not. I just was spending the whole day watching people's shoulders roast. And it's not fun. And they're like, it's fine, I put on sunblock. Sunblock lasts for 2 hours maximum. You have to keep putting it on. And even then, you're not going to get every single inch because you can't reach every single inch of your back. Just wear a hat. Just wear sleeves. It's 100% effective. It's not sticky. You don't have to reapply it. You just put it on, one and done, baby. You go, just don't. I just see so many people get sunburn and they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, man. Your skin is roasting from the light. It's not cool. Like, it's not normal. You're going to get skin cancer. I'm upset for you, you know?
You smell like a turkey on Thanksgiving.
I'm getting hungry. You're making me hungry.
I do like to reapply my hat, but that's just because I like to do funky little tricks with it.
That's cool.
Like spins and flips and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not
or like
sticky.
Bobble it on top of your head. Like,
yeah,
that move. That's always a fun one.
I was told by a 13-year-old that wearing your hat, like just sort of setting it on top of your head is the dominant way to wear the hat because it makes your head look bigger. And the way that Jack is wearing the hat is not, I'm not going to say it's submissive, but it is not dominant.
Oh, I'm a big hat sub. Yeah.
So they say, oh, wow, look at this sub sandwich that just pulled up with his hat all low. Okay, and I'm coming with that big Dom energy because I got like a 10-gallon fitted.
Yeah. Real, real high.
But yeah, I gotta recommend, above all things, hats and shirts. I think they're great ideas. You know, just you gotta wear, I feel like there's sort of a feeling, kind of the norm here is that when it's hot, you show more skin. And that may have been a thing that you could do when we didn't live in a time of heat waves literally every summer.
Right.
But, you know, it's hot. It's not the heat. It's the light, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's the light that burns you. It doesn't have to be that hot for you to get sunburned. Right. Protect your neck, guys. You know, bandanas are your friend. Shirts are your friend. They soak up your sweat, which is nice.
I didn't ski growing up, but like there would always be kids coming back from like ski trips and they would just have like white there, and then their face would be like an ungodly like bronze color, like,
yeah, goggle tan
here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It weirded me out.
Did I see goggle tans? Yes, Jack. I grew up in Northern California.
Yeah. I saw some goggle tans.
I'd seen a goggle tan, okay?
Okay.
Called them snarls.
Sorry, I was too busy shredding the gnar all winter playing.
Yeah.
Came back with a freaking sick goggle tan. It's like hella sick.
Dude, that yeah, exactly. Sick. Dude, the shirt I was wearing, this dude came up to me and goes, oh, you had some friends in Nam that were POWs? I'm like, nah, dude, it's because I'm carving pow on the fucking mountainside, Brad. Fuck out my face.
Get out of my face, loser.
There is this, I felt like this weekend, though, sorry, that like over the weekend, there were so many viral posts of white people getting absolutely violated by the sun's rays.
That's what I'm saying, like, dude. They don't understand. They're like, oh, sun is my friend. You're not. Also, like, you know, my boyfriend, it was like, I was like, do you want to wear sunscreen? He was like, no, I don't like putting stuff on my face. I was like, for sure, dude. And then we were talking about it, and I was like, so why do you feel like you need to be stronger than the sun?
Mm. Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Why do you feel like, as a man, you have to be like, no, it's fine. The sun, even if the sun hurts me, it's okay.
Fuck because, my face. Who cares?
Because it's, you know, I can take it. Do you think that you can beat the sun? The sun is a, you know what I mean?
In a way, yes. That's how potent I am.
You are extremely virile, extremely tough. My balls are so big that they will block out the sun and I will shade myself with them.
And I was also like, my circuitry was pretty much formed at a time when I thought I was invincible,
mm-hmm.
like in my teenage years. And
yeah,
it reminds me of like people, like I think you're right to single out white people. I think people, like I've always made fun of how people from New England are about the cold, where they're like, this isn't cold to me. This is cold to you. This isn't shit.
Right, right.
I'll wear shorts in this shit. Like that's how basically all white people are for the most part with regards to sunscreen and the sun.
Yeah.
And my wife is not white and wears a lot of like sun protective stuff. And that's the only reason it's evident to me that I am where I was coming from was incredibly wrong.
It's actually weird.
We've talked about people wearing driving gloves on this podcast before. And I was like, wow, driving gloves. My wife was wearing driving gloves. I just didn't know that's what they were. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm not cooking my arms.
Yeah, I'm
up.
Not cooking my fucking hands. What are you, crazy?
Yeah. I remember my mom used to first, she wear long sleeve and golf gloves. And all my friends would be like, yo, your mom plays golf, but like, why don't you take her golf gloves off? I'm like, bro, she's so fair skinned. She just, and she reads too much about the sun. But I'm on the other side. There's also like toxic, like people of color anti sunscreen sentiment too, which is, oh, we got melanin.
Right. You can still burn. You can still burn with
sunscreen.
Melanin.
I know. And I'm saying I was raised on that version too, where my dad would be like telling my mom, like, you need sunscreen. Not this brown young man here. We're good. We have melanin. And then it took like my friend to become like a nurse, like in our 20s, to be like, you know, that's all bullshit, right? I'm like, well,
it's
but
still
I don't
skin.
Get burned. She's like, yeah, but your shit will degrade. Like the effects are there. You might not burn, but everything else happens. I'm like, oh no,
my beautiful skin.
That's all I had.
And going back to 4-year-olds real quick, but sunscreen sucks when you have a 4-year-old and you got to put sunscreen on every inch of their body, and they are like, they don't like that shit.
They hate it.
Just say. My 4-year-old does not like that shit.
You try to put it on their face and their nose is running and then you're just rubbing their own snot mixed with the sunscreen all around their face, and then they're crying and there's sand, and you know, it's
because also what it does is, I remember as a kid, it just delays you from getting in the fucking pool or doing whatever, like meeting up with your friends. You're like, yeah, I'm here. You take your shit off. You're like ready to hop in the pool. And you're like, and your parents are like, da, 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 da. Now let me rub your back for 5 minutes to put the lotions on or what.
And
now
wait
like
for it to dry.
Yeah.
And then go in the pool.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm. Can't do it. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. All right, let's move on to a story. The hook is Coachella. The thing hanging on that hook is the entirety of our crumbling system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Coachella owners, which AEG is the company that most people are probably familiar with, but they are owned by the Anschutz Corporation, which is not, as you pointed out, Miles, the made-up Nazi company from The Man in the High Tower. But
it does the Anschutz Corporation. I'm like, ooh,
yeah, that.
Yeah. They own everything. You heard of AEG? That actually stands for the Anschutz Entertainment Group, if you weren't aware, or AXS.com, where you buy tickets. Like they're behind Coachella. They're behind Stagecoach. They own a ton of sports venues. Like they have their hands on fucking everything. Like in terms of like live entertainment.
And we talked recently just some context about how Coachella is like this marketing event that was created by people who were like, yeah, man, people like really liked the like Woodstock and like those idealistic things. What if we took that but made it completely just marketing and devoid of any value other than like cultural signifiers? What then?
Right.
So Coachella, like all the way down, is, you know.
It starts to feel more gross when we get through this story where you figure out it's like, wait, is it a collection? It's like a donation gathering event to put more right wing wackos in office.
Yeah. So
not to say that the line is that clear, but when you start digging in Popular Information, if you follow that newsletter, the work of Judd Legum reported along with Keith Richards
and
fucking
go big. All right.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing their thing. they reported that, you know, the company, the parent company, the Anschutz Corporation, made a pretty sizable donation to RAGA, which is Republican Attorneys General Association, just days after the Roe decision, the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe came down. The RAGA, like the day Roe was overturned, they blasted out to their supporters, said, hey, man, we could really use some cash, man, because we're going to need to put in more attorneys general that are going to fucking lay this fucked up human rights violating hammer down. Are you in? Can we count on you? And wow. Clearly, the Anschutz Corporation was like, yes, you can. Just give us a few days to get that money together and we'll get it right to you. And this isn't the first time this company or their owner has given to right-wing causes either. Like in March, his company donated a combined like $750,000 to the GOP leadership funds that are like focused on getting majorities in the House and Senate. They're, you know, like they're called like the leadership funds or whatever. And he also seems to have a knack for giving to anti-LGBTQ groups as well, like the Alliance for Defending Freedom, the National Christian Foundation, and the Family Research Council. When pressed about it, Anschutz's defense was called it fake news that he, but they're like, these are fucking tax. This is document. What the fuck are you talking about? And added, quote, I unequivocally support the rights of all people without regard to sexual orientation, end quote. Okay. And then at time he's like, look,
I actually
okay.
don't see sexual orientation. Like right. to me, everyone looks the same.
100%.
I've never had sex. He's saying, like,
so it's really not relevant to me. And I don't really want to have an opinion on that.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
I give to a lot of people.
And that's the thing. I want to take a side note here because you're pointing out something that I wish more people acknowledged, especially in this field. The more innocuous the name of an organization is, the more fuckery they tend to be up to. Right.
Exactly.
Like the Family Research Council. Right? Alliance Defending Freedom. It's like back when the CIA had Air America. And that's, right. That sounds dope. That's fine. But now it's like a knee-jerk reaction for me, man. Every time I hear a really innocuous sounding name for a political organization, I'm like, the cleaner it sounds, the worse
it's they're. Yeah, when those groups are getting together, all the founders are like, what if we called it the Gay People Shouldn't Exist Alliance? Then people are like, no. They're like, why? That's what we're here for. You got to say something like the Family Research Council.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how many Harvard and Yale graduates we have working to come up with a beautiful name that sounds perfect and hits people's brains exactly right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, we don't call it Gay People Shouldn't Exist, you dumb fuck.
Even like, if
we
that's
have,
what
we have all the money
for.
In America to spend on coming up with the right name for this.
So
dumb
when he was pressed about it, they then found it. He's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop funding any groups, it turns out, that are involved with any anti-LGBTQ anything. But then Pitchfork, like a year or two later, looked into it again, and he was just giving to smaller organizations that have a history of anti-LGBTQ like activity. And so again, you know, this is just sort of when the parent company was asked about this whole, you know, their support for forced birth, they were like, oh, took a very similar path of like one of the spokespeople for the company said that, you know, The company and the owner, Philip Anschutz, does, you know, he believes totally in the right to choose and did not support the reversal of Roe. And neither the company or the individual himself received, saw, or was aware of a Republican Attorneys General Association fundraising solicitation based on the reversal of Roe v. Wade. TAC has contributed to RAGA since at least 2014. No contribution to RAGA by the Anschutz Corporation or Mr. Anschutz has been based upon, informed by, or motivated by any RAGA position on Roe or abortion. Mr. Anschutz makes contributions to numerous organizations, usually for specific reasons. He does not review or support each of the positions taken by such organizations. Okay, I gotta go.
Oh, wow.
The fuck? Just a straight up run on word blast to be like, yikes, you caught us.
100%. Like, how is that any different from someone saying, okay, did I donate to the Nazi party? Yes, but it's because I like the uniforms. I did not do much other research. I think the armbands are cool. It's
I like Hitler's stance on vegetarianism and not smoking. Okay, so get off my back. Like, if you think everybody should smoke? Do you want to kill animals? Then, all right.
Wow.
Fine.
Who's the real monster? I'm just a single issue donator.
Hey, look, I met him in a Reddit subreddit group where it was people who had a beef against art schools that they didn't get into. That's what we bonded over first. I didn't know that's what he was up to. That's not fair. Like, I only knew him from Reddit. That's the same energy that all these people have. But this is just, again, another example of how the billionaire class has a public-facing company that's aligned with a festival like Coachella. Yet in private, the owners, and even in public, the company itself, are actually a bunch of sick fucks who are hell-bent on ending democracy. And there's an interesting report that came out in the last week from Common Dreams and a few other groups that just showed just how much billionaires contribute to the two parties. So the Congressional Leadership Fund and the Senate Leadership Fund, these are both funds that Anschutz donated to directly, raised a combined $188.3 million in the first 16 months of the 2022 campaign cycle. Nearly half, about $90 million, or 48%, came from just 27 billionaires. And Anschutz is one of these 27 billionaires. A whopping 86% of the GOP's billionaire money comes from, quote, Wall Street tycoons, which are the people who benefit most from our shitty tax laws and loopholes. So they have a vested interest to stay in the game of influencing politics. And then on the Democratic side, you look, they raised about $154 million in that period. About $25.8 million, or 17%, only came from 19 billionaires for Democrats. Wow. So they're only beholden to 19 Democrats who aren't giving as much, but still outsized donations. And a majority of those billionaire contributions, again, comes from the investment sector. I mean, you know, the Clinton administration is the one who let Wall Street become a total fucking casino. So yeah, it's been a nice relationship since then.
And made the shape of the government like Wall Street logic. Like, we're not, you know, allocating funds for like projects to help the public. We are investing in these things. Mm-hmm. And then we use Wall Street logic and like investor call logic when we're like talking to the press about fucking like, well, we're means testing everything. Like, everything has to be like framed as this like financial thing that's like paying back to rich Americans, essentially.
Right. Who needs a pension? Get a 401k. That's the new rule, right?
Right, exactly.
But I mean, this story, I feel like we could just cover this story every day from now. Like, this is the whole thing. That is so much money that is being put in by these billionaires. And they're not doing it out of kindness or because they don't like pay attention what happens to their money. Billionaires pay way more attention to what happens to their money than you and I do. Like, they love their money. They're doing it because they expect something in return and will make sure they get it, or they will destroy the person who doesn't give it to them. Like, that is the mentality of a billionaire. That is how you become a billionaire, is by like liking your money and making it work for you at like, you know, two degrees that are just completely absent of any like morality or anything like that. But so this is what like the Supreme Court has made possible, is that we have an entire system that is just designed by billionaires. Like, when you look at the founding of Coachella, like, the two people who founded it were just like people in punk bands who are like the sort of people who maybe in a past generation like start like creating like a community, like, you know, build something cool. They're like cool people who like, you know, rock stars like to hang out with. Like, they're plugged into the artistry. And instead, you know, they are fed into this system that is controlled by billionaires. And the result of that is that like Coachella, a cool idea, becomes a funding mechanism for right-wing like politics and for ideals that just end up protecting rich people's money. That is what the entire American project is at this point, for all intents and purposes. And it's all happening behind closed doors, like the public facing. But it's not behind closed doors. It's just not the part that the media pays attention to. And that is because the media is also like the amount of money that they're investing. They're creating so many jobs, like the people who like created Coachella, like that every like New York Times fucking, you know, writer, they're making like a good living. These people's money is putting people's children through college And like those people now take their marching orders from billionaires. And like that is how you get to a system that, we're in right now, that it's just, it's completely fucked.
Yeah. I mean, that Upton Sinclair quote couldn't be truer, where it's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on not understanding it.
Absolutely.
And that's been true since fucking Upton Sinclair. Also looking at this and be like, whoa.
But I feel like we get angry at the New York Times. We get angry at that. And like, I feel like they're not making the mistakes because they want to be necessarily.
No.
There are billions of dollars that are sending thousands of people's kids through college that are buying that bias. And like, yeah. And same with the people who founded Coachella and now like are, you know, work in these like swanky giant things and have like million-dollar mansions and shit like that. And, you know, like that is, this is the system. It's like billionaire money just buying a friendly, you know, a friendly to billionaire and, atmosphere.
Yeah. And all this focus on their maintaining their wealth has just led to just complete destruction of social safety nets in this country. And then they're like, what's going on with crime? It can't be because no one has options or is supported. It's because there's not enough Ring cameras to hack or whatever fucking logic they're trying to invent. But like, but since like, you know, they can buy votes, we've just been sliding the scale the other way. And we're just like you're saying, Jack, we don't live in a place that considers the needs of a working person. We live in a place that always centers what the desires of the billionaire class is. And then you can dress it up as policy or these other things. But the gist is always going to be, if this shit takes a bite out of the billionaire class's fucking bank account, you can pretty much bet that this shit will not pass because they have too much influence with the people who have the votes to make things a reality. And I just want to say those 27 billionaires that were bankrolling the GOP super PACs alone, their wealth increased by 82.4 billion during the fucking pandemic, meaning that the fucking barely 90 million that they gave is less than 1/10 of 1% of their overall pandemic era gains.
Right. Nuts. Can you imagine?
That's all it costs.
That's like, that's an investment that the average person would salivate for.
Oh, easily.
Know? Like you would do dirt for that. I would commit crime for that.
Right.
But the other thing that I think is part and parcel of this, we're talking about the complicity of this system at a structural level, is that there's no real insider trading law for Congress. And it's an apolitical point. And people sometimes don't like to hear it, especially if they consider themselves very partisan, right? And they're saying, oh, you know, but my side or this one is the good one for some reason. Like, Pelosi, I believe, is cyclically in hot water that somehow mysteriously goes away when people learn about the profiteering that occurs on a routine, regular, I would say normalized and systemic basis there. I know for a lot of us listening today, this is maybe we're preaching the choir, maybe the statistics and specifics are new, and maybe it's really disheartening, but it's the truth. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy on the part of billionaires. Yeah.
It's measurable. You can tie the amount, their proximity to an industry to begin to understand why they vote a certain way or why certain legislative ideas are injected into bills and things like that. It's pretty clear. But again, if the mechanism that people use to understand it is going to be pushed through like a funhouse mirror of corporate interests, the shit that they're going to see is not going to be that. It's going to be, Joe Manchin and Christian Sinema. It's all them. It's like, no, it's all of you. But you're lucky that these two were particularly lacking moral scruples, that they're like visibly just going to be like the centerpiece for it all. But really, These are just like a zit on the gigantic ass of our fucked up political system, where it's like, I need to zoom out, look at the whole nasty butt, because it's
the rules sound like you guys were talking about kids before in some previous episodes, you know, and I hope everybody's kid is well listening to this. But if you have ever caught your very young child trying to cheat at a game, it sounds like that's the kid who wrote a lot of these laws, especially around super PACs.
Straight up.
It's like, no, it's not directly you know, contributing. Yeah. Right.
No, I get to have the power. You don't get to have the superpower. Like I have the, yeah.
Wait, hold on. What kind of controller are you using? Wait, that's not fair. You can set the buttons to turbo. That's why you fucking me up with Chun-Li. Street Fighter.
That is an argument that Miles got into with my 6-year-old recently. By the way, Miles is always pushing to pull the focus out on the whole nasty butt, I will say.
Exactly. Stop zooming in on the zit, man. You're missing the zit for the ass. Butt.
But I mean, this is
the bigger than crap. Oh my God.
This directly ties to the national mood of like people just being like, what? Like what? Like the surreal phenomenon of having the president that we elected being in office and not being able to do anything he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this isn't given as the explanation is like, well, he can't do it because the billionaires don't want him to do it. Like, That should be 80-point font on the front page of the New York Times, like every time something fails. But instead, it's like, yeah, Sinema and Manchin got in his way again. And, you know, that's instead of like, yeah, this should be all we're talking about. But, you know, those same billionaires own or invested. They own the, you know, Washington Post, or they own the corporations that advertise on the New York Times. And so you have to, like, you know, listen to a podcast story about Coachella to hear somebody talk about it. It's like fucking
right. I mean, yeah. it is frustrating. And when really every time, if there was, like, I don't know, some shred of journalistic integrity, you could just say, here's the bill that's being proposed. Mm-hmm. Here's who stands to make less money as an industry because of these changes, right? Because like even with something like Build Back Better, we're talking about clean energy and we're talking about moving towards renewables. So that sounds like the money is going to be moving away from fossil fuels and towards renewable energy. Now, when you say the money's moving away from fossil fuels, you're damn sure that the fossil fuel industry is going to be giving as much fucking money as they can and getting in the ears of as many legislators as possible to make sure that money doesn't go towards renewables, because they most companies were probably more invested in trying to kneecap renewables than seeing the future and being like, you know, we should probably get in on this shit, too.
Right.
Because that's kind of where it's at. And now we're the ones paying for it because a group of wealthy fucking people are saying, you know what? In this instance, I can't stand to make less money. And guess what? I can spend fucking less than 1% of what I made in the pandemic and make this shit disappear.
Neo-feudalism.
Yeah.
That's what I'm shaking my fist in the air.
Yeah. Right.
Even though it's an audio podcast.
And I think that's the hard part, I think, for just in general, Jack, like you're talking about how like you've had an evolution from starting the show, right? Where there's a part where we really do want to believe that the way that we've been raised or taught of how the political system works is actually centering the American, you know? And that's like the first lie that I think most people have to, like, I think, again, many people are still reeling with the fact that, like, is that not true? Right. And then because if that's not true, then it's like, well, then what do I have to do? And I think that's scary, too. What does that mean I have to do then if no one's looking out for me? And I think being outraged and getting, you know, more aware of what's happening around you is the key to that. At least that's what
moving to our micro niche.
Yeah.
We're going to be opening
my micro nation of my address.
There we go. I think we should open it in the dilapidated water park River Country. In Disney World.
Oh.
You know, just that they're already used to like having a micronation down there.
Yeah.
So true.
Old theme parks and malls, they have kind of infrastructure like plumbing and shit like that, ventilation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
I just got like any micronation I'm involved in is going to involve water parks.
Yeah. Lots colonize of water the parks. Water parks.
Thank Done. You.
Done. The time has come.
Colonize abandoned malls and water parks. It's time to colonize them.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about spooky America.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Also, it's so funny. Have we talked about the fact that the phrase like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is like itself
impossible?
Yeah, it's a work of satire. Like somebody, it's a joke, but like America just turned it into like we do the impossible. That's how it's like 110% like being
right.
It's like, well, that's not a thing, man.
I can make gold from wood.
Like, what? Exactly. Alchemy.
They're like, yeah, that's
motto.
The national motto. It's like that's a fallacy and incorrect. I don't know where
work ethic alchemy. That's our thing. It's like, well, that's impossible. So you're a dipshit. We're a dipshit. Anyways, America has a toilet problem. Kalamazoo, Michigan, just decriminalized public urination, and the mainstream media lost their shit. This is, you know, according to them, this was purely done to ruin the lives of business owners and devalue property. Kalamazoo business owners upset after decriminalization of public urination, defecation. And in 2017, New York City cops gave cops the discretion to punish urinators with a civil summons instead of a criminal one, which, by the way, giving New York City cops discretion over anything is never going to help, but I'm sure this just led to rich white stockbrokers being able to pee wherever they want when they're drunk, and that's about it, because the cops aren't cutting a break for anyone else, it turns out. But when they did that, immediately Tucker Carlson was like, this whole city smells like urine. All of a sudden, the first time that New York had ever smelled like urine, apparently. But yeah, I mean, public urination shouldn't just be decriminalized. It should be legalized. These laws really only serve to punish the most vulnerable. According to one report, 20 to 30% of unhoused people have been cited or arrested for public urination in 13 states, public urination is classified as a potential sex crime.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, you'd be a sex offender for public urination, which is
right.
Like, wow. It's like, and imagine if you're unhoused and they're like, you're now a sex offender, which means you can't really be anywhere now.
Right.
Like, with all of the, you know, the sort of boundaries that come with, like, places you can live near or whatever, or be near. That's, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. But they're a way, these laws are a way of criminalizing homelessness, essentially. In Skid Row in LA, there are 15,000 people and just 5 public toilets.
Oh my God.
So that's 1 public toilet for every 3,000 people. So it, like, not having public urination, you know, as a criminal act is essentially a form of entrapment, because it's like physically impossible that you won't go to the bathroom there. There's also some stories in Piedmont, Oklahoma. A cop gave a $2,500 ticket for public urination to a 3-year-old. And in Ferguson, Missouri, which you might remember them, the Ferguson Police Department. Well, in Ferguson, a family let their 2-year-old and 4-year-old pee in a bush, something I've done near constantly as a parent, just because kids constantly have to go to the bathroom, like, at the most inconvenient times. It's like they have a sense for what is the most inconvenient time, and that's when they will have to go to the bathroom, like, horribly badly. But a cop came by and arrested the dad for child neglect. He was held for 9 hours and found guilty by a judge. The couple understandably later sued the city, but you'll never guess that the family were Black. Mm-hmm. So shocking. But so one solution is, there just absolutely needs to be way more public toilets available.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that how you solve a problem?
Like, well, not in the United States.
No, that's true.
In the United States, they're like, well,
how do we make this
worse? The market solve it.
Let the free market solve the toilet
crisis.
Straight up,
that's what they did. Like, the Starbucks announced that they would open their washrooms to everyone in 2018. And people are like, see, the market working. They know it's a good publicity thing.
Because Starbucks are everywhere.
Right.
Except people need to pee.
Except Howard Schultz recently came out, you know, now that he's probably turning right. I mean, he's like union busting, yeah, and was criticized during his presidential run as a Democrat. So I'm sure he's basically a fascist at this point. So he then recently announced that they will actually soon limit access to customers only, which amounted to a loss of critical infrastructure for the broader public in the United States. Like, so
right.
A company changes a store policy and it radically fucks over the country. That's the United States.
But this feels to me, again, like dumping a bunch of labor on service workers who aren't being paid a living wage anyway. That you have to police the toilets. Like,
yes,
I think that was the fundamental problem with the mask mandates, was that you're literally asking service workers to enforce
and get fucking a state
regulation, like policy, law, something, right? It's like, you don't, and like your life being threatened, like it's not worth that. I've always found that
people who don't want to wear a mask in public seem to be very reasonable and just like easy to talk to, and like want to hear you out. That is, I feel like people not like refusing to wear a mask when it's appropriate or required is like the domestic violence of like gun owner of like mass shootings. It's just like, those are the people who are going to flip out and try and fight you in this subway or wherever you are.
But thanks for bringing it back to subway.
Yeah.
Can I just throw in really quickly, historically, that cities were adding lots of public toilets until desegregation, and then they started closing them down.
Interesting.
Fascinating stuff.
The hand of white supremacy is always in the
shadows. Always. That's why we don't have enough toilets, because white people.
Yeah. Wow. Countries like Iceland have around 56 toilets per 100,000 people. The U.S. has 8.
Yeah.
Per 100.
Because people don't have to pee.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, piss in your bootstraps.
Yeah.
We have stronger willpower, so we're able to just hold it longer than the people in Iceland. But yeah, it's straight up, it's white supremacy and racism. Like, that's
It's, and it doesn't even, again, like everything, when there's a problem, they don't fucking actually address it. People are pissing everywhere. What's the problem? Because there's not enough toilets. What's the solution? Fucking make them sex offenders. What?
Wait, no. I'm sorry. Did you skip a step there? Nope. That's straight up what we're doing.
That's how you stop them.
Like California sitting on a record-breaking surplus of, you know, taxpayer money. And rather than like spending that on building public toilets, they instead, you brag about having a surplus and it works. First of all, the media is like, holy shit, Newsom, we should make him president. He has a surplus. And then also
it's austerity.
And yeah. That's, and then like start freaking out about San Francisco having like poop on the street. Like that's how people,
you look
respond.
At a place like in London, right? I was just there. They have public urinals fucking everywhere. Cause they're like, man, too many people leave the pubs and shit or whatever, and they just piss all over the street.
Yeah.
Their solution was, well, then put up some fucking urinals that people can use and like more toilets for people. And then you're spending less time cleaning up piss in the streets and giving a person to use the fucking bathroom. But
London has some experience there.
Absolutely.
I'm like, they used to use the streets as the sewers, so they would know.
They've evolved. You know, they've come around.
Like, how do we solve this?
Everyone used to use it as the sewers, though. To be fair.
Well, that was, I like the like Spanish colonizers when they first came to like South America. They were like, "What the fuck is this? Your streets are clean."
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Where do I go pee?
It is definitely a European settler, European colonizer movement of, yeah, we just kind of shit everywhere.
Right, but we also put you in jail for it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We put you in jail for it, not us, though. That's our right.
That's our divine right as colonizers. Now, show me the closest place I can defecate on something sacred.
So just to kind of close the loop on this, the U.S. government and, you know, various like local organizations have pointed to the high costs for installing public toilets. But in fact, you actually save money by investing in restrooms because you wind up spending millions cleaning up all the pee and poop around your city. And
never mind like public health.
Right. Yeah. According to the World Bank, every dollar spent on urban sanitation brings a return of $2.50 to the economy through reduction in medical costs and increased productivity.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Reduction in medical costs? I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not what happened here, fam.
Not profitable.
If anything, I need to increase the medical costs so I can keep my pockets fat, okay? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? And
I can't. Well, because so the, like, that's people pooping on land that I'm not going to because I'm going to my country club where the, right. the people
there are
who
enough toilets.
Have to poop and pee everywhere are not allowed in. So, you know, it's just the public parks that get shit on and peed on and make people sick. And it's not my country club, though. Anyways.
All right, piss on your local country club.
Yeah. Let's start the movement. Start reaching out. Just being like, hey, golf courses shouldn't exist, right? And see what kind of response you get. I bet there's more people who agree with you than you say.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.